Welcome to Technorama Ball 1.0. I'm George Michael, and joining me here is John Madning.
Hello, George.
This is going to be an incredible matchup today between Seattle Windows and the Cupertino Max. Couldn't have asked for anything better.
Let's take a look at the stats. Windows says they have a strong defense. However, we've seen holes in that lineup before. The Apple team seems to have an ironclad security, but it's gone mostly untested. During the season, both teams have seen 16 interrupt requests and no drive crashes. With numbers like that, the game could go either way.
That's right. Thanks, John. And let's not forget that both teams have close relatives for quarterbacks. Neon Zeon Intel has been with Windows since essentially the beginning. And the brother Robert, who just started with Apple, has already been nicknamed Dual Core.
That's interesting. What is also a fascinating fact is that the fan makeup is about 95% Seattle Windows fans and about 5% Apple.
Well, there you have it, and it's time for the boot up, and away they go.
Welcome to Technorama, the show with a toy prize inside. This is show number 81 for February 6, 2006. I'm Chuck Tomasi. And with me way out on the corner of Geek Street and Nerd Boulevard is my co-host Craig Stapp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. Hey, can I get a ride over here? How much for a date? Wait a minute.
We're not much for sports, but we couldn't pass up the occasion to put together an intro like that. And if you listen throughout the show, you never know what you're going to get. Speaking of the show lineup tonight, we've got lots of stuff lined up for you. We've got loads and loads, and I mean loads of listener feedback. We've got strange stories you've come to expect on Technorama, and another GPS review if we've got time. We're in for a long one tonight, folks.
Hey, Chuck, I'm open. Over here.
Go long. Go really, really long. On this day in tech history for February 6, 2006... This is February 6th. It's the 37th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 328 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1815, New Jersey grants the first American railroad charter to a John Stevens. Jack Kilby of Texas Instruments filed for the first patent for an integrated circuit on this date in 1959. And also in 1959, at Cape Canaveral, Florida, the first successful test firing of a Titan intercontinental ballistic missile is accomplished. Cold War. And in 1964, British and French governments announced their commitment to building a tunnel under the English Channel. Talk about your long-term projects. On this date in 1971, Alan Shepard becomes the first man to hit a golf ball on the moon during the two-day moonwalk from Apollo 14. And this is the day that Steve Wozniak leaves Apple Computer in 1985. And if you listen to this podcast, you'll know why. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1695 to Nicholas Bernoulli, the Swiss mathematician. And Mary Leakey, the British anthropologist and husband of Richard Leakey, was born on this date in 1913. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history. for February 6th, 2006.
You're listening to the Technorama podcast, and this is Rob from Podcast 411 reminding you to listen different.
Hey, before we go too much further, we want to thank Mark Shepard for his donation to the tip jar. That makes him February Technorama underwriter.
That's right.
Or undertaker.
Appreciate that, man.
Thank you very much, Mark. We appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
Moving on to listener feedback. Oh, wait. We got another mail sound. Let's see how this goes.
Okay.
DeVille! DeVille is here!
Ooh!
Nothing like a little Homer to get you going.
Yeah, oh, it's just spam.
Our first one's from Yorga. He's commenting about our discussion about the 10th planet being bigger than Pluto. He says, I agree with not calling Pluto a planet. If you look at Pluto, UB-313, Quar, they all have a highly, they're all highly egg-shaped. Or egg-shaped orbits, and they're all tilted compared to the sun. That's right, they are. All the other planets are roughly on the sun's equator, and Pluto comes in at this weird slant, and I guess so do the other ones.
See, I thought he was a dog.
Who?
Pluto.
Pluto. That's Mickey Mouse's dog. Says, also, you were talking about that GPS tracker thingy. Don't use magnets and stick it to the car. Oh, we were talking about, like, what Obi-Wan
James
did.
James Bond. Like, yeah. James Bond or something.
Magnets and electronics don't go together. How right you are.
Hey, speaking of that, I got a quick story about that. You know, back in the day when everybody used to use floppies, you know, I did a service call, and this woman said her floppy disk wasn't working. I kept, you know, I'd format a disk, copy some data, and it worked fine. She called me back, I can't read my data off my disk again. Turns out that her telephone was formatting the disk. She had her too close to the telephone.
Those telephones have powerful magnets in them.
Well, they, yeah.
Well, at least the old style ones did.
And do you know how long it took me to figure that crap out? I don't know. It works. Oh, well.
Next email's from Mark in Memphis. You should really stop calling it Craig's PayPal fiasco because it really isn't Craig. It's really Craig's eBay fiasco. PayPal is getting him his money back. And the good news is,
yes, I got it back. I got every bit of it. It was 62 and some change. I got it back, turned around, went back on eBay. I was trying to buy a wireless adapter for my Xbox.
Well, yes.
I ended up getting another one cheaper. And the guy's already mailed it out, so awesome. Thank you, PayPal, for hooking me up.
Have a Marvy day. Signed, Mark in Memphis.
Yeah.
And moving on to Charles Stell from the Sticks. He's commenting on his favorite editor. Hi, Chuck. I use JGSoft's EditPad Pro, written by a Dutch fella living in the Far East. It's small, fast, does hex and block edits, has customizable color highlighting for just about any language, and the number of open files is limited only by your memory. Is that how many you can remember you opened? Did I open this file or not? Oh, not that kind of memory.
Oh, I think I've seen this.
He says it's not free, but for $39.95, it has support and updates. Multiple cut-paste buffers and macros come in very handy also. Oh, yes, and it will run from my USB stick. There is EditPad Lite that is free, and both are available for Linux. And he gives a URL, which we will include in the show notes. Thank you, Charles from the Stick Stell. You want to take the next one?
Sure. I'm sorry, I was too busy reading about the Linux version of TextEditor Pro.
You keep reading it if you want. I'll go on.
Now, here you go. This one's from Douglas Alexander, a.k.a.
Shensis.
Shensis. Okay, Shensis from the chat room regarding the top 10 robots. It says, Chuck, these ones don't... sorry, that caught me off. These ones don't make the list, but I thought I would share with you. And he has...
he's got one for Metal Mickey. Yeah. Which is kind of interesting. At first I thought it had something to do with Mickey Mouse, but it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. That's what threw me off. And also also this dating TV show from the 80s on Australian TV featured a robot on a TV show called Perfect Match. And I'll go look at that one real quick. I haven't seen that one.
That one, actually, I couldn't find a picture for that. So I'm curious to see if
it wasn't a picture on the link.
No, there wasn't a picture on the link. There was a description.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah, you're right. Hmm.
We've got several voicemail also. The first one's from K.O. Wright about that mail sound that I said we'd probably never play again. The mail's here. The mail's here. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, it's Cal, your only female listener. But anyway, my first message was about last week's Sunday's podcast. Where did you get that strange email jingle from anyway? It sounded like a little gnome or something. But you guys made me laugh. I was listening to it early in the morning at 5 a.m. But see you later. Bye.
5 a.m.? Okay. We're your geek morning show.
That's the thing about podcasts. We can be up anytime.
That's right. Don't listen to this while operating heavy machinery. You could spit out your water. Now, actually, I got that. I just did a Google search for "you have email jingles," and I came up with one called Har's Wave World, and I'll put a link to that one in there. It's got about 20 of them.
You know, the first thing I'd have thought of to try and search for was like mail waves.
I wonder what you'd get.
I don't know. Let's go find out.
Later. Second one is Bruce Barr, who's made a correction to my ailing memory of 25 years.
Chuck, you got another phone call.
Who is it?
Bruce Barr.
OnStar?
Bruce Barr.
Juice Barr?
Bruce Barr.
I don't know what you're trying to tell me. Help him leave a message.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, it's Bruce. And I am in Kansas City. Okay, stop me if you heard this one, because I'm sure you've gotten many emails and maybe even voicemails on this. Chuck. The 6502 was not a Motorola processor. It was, in fact, built by a bunch of engineers that left Motorola en masse to build a better processor. The 6502, very similar to the 6800, and radically different than the Z80. Those were the big three back then. Anyway, those were good old days. Man, Chuck, you were rich if you could afford an Apple II. I wasn't with the Commodore crowd, but I had a color computer, which was also 6800 based, actually, one of the variants of that. So, anyway, Chuck and, Craig and I, we were just poor people, and you were obviously rich. And Craig, dang, man, I can't believe it. I was thinking about doing the very same thing of open source and or at least if not a whole podcast, at least a section of a podcast. I was going to call it Wide Open Spaces. Anyway, so I will be listening for that. I'm going to go in the house here and search around and subscribe to it right away. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
He's talking about two things in there. The 6502, he's correct. I did look it up on Wikipedia, and I stand corrected. The C64 was also the 6510. 6502 is not made by Motorola. I always thought it was, but it's not. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Yeah, well, the numbering scheme's similar, too.
Yep.
And you.
The second and by the part way, the about that. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the 6510 was very close to the 6502.
Yep, it was. I wish they were. It would have been nice if they were the same. But second part about that was talking about Craig's new podcast, Valid Syntax.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to you. And it's a good thing you didn't leave that one. Someone might have stole your idea.
Yeah, no kidding.
And our third and final voicemail is from our buddy Kevin Devon.
Okay, so maybe I'm just thick-headed, okay?
No comment.
So, but I gotta ask. Every time you do the this week or today in tech history,
yes,
you always say the Gregorian calendar.
Yes.
Okay. So, what other calendar would we or might we be going by if it wasn't the Gregorian?
Okay, I'm gonna stop right there and make my comment. There are multiple calendars still in use in the world, although the vast majority use the Gregorian calendar. They didn't all adopt it at the same time. named after Pope Gregory. You know, I did my Wikipedia and some other searches on this because I just had to answer this with a halfway educated answer.
Hey, wake me up when you're done.
There could be the Aztec calendar. There could be the what was the other one? Not the Mayan calendar. There are some other. Yes, the Chinese calendar as proof that New Year just started. We're now in the year of the dog. So there are others, and I thought it safe to specify that in case anybody's listening to this in 2,500 years, they would know which calendar we were referenced by.
Julian calendar?
No, the Julian calendar was superseded by the Gregorian calendar. That's the one that the reason we have the Gregorian calendar, it's based on the Julian calendar, but the summer solstice was creeping backwards because they didn't have leap years calculated quite right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get to... Oh, my memory is bad. It's like 1542. Someone's going to fix me on this. You look in October, there are about 5 days missing. Or 10 days. They jumped just to fix the calendar. It's pretty cool. Even the Unix Cal program still knows this.
Hmm. It says the invention came from what the Catholic Church was suggesting to have Easter celebrated at a time when they thought that had been agreed by the First Council of Nicaea. Or Nicaea, however you say that. Anyway, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Now, the second half of this is a little more entertaining.
I don't think it's a star date, is it? Anyway,
no, not star dates.
Two, what does tech, the Knights of Columbus have to do with tech? I'm not calling you out. I'm just kind of curious. It's like, because I've caught several of those every once in a while. It's like, what in the world? Anyway, I'm just curious. That's nothing more. Love the show. See you guys.
All right. This is where I try and explain myself out of a bad edit. That's all it was. When I go through these events, I start with about 300 of them, and I have to pare them down to about 8 that have to do with tech, science fiction, or something closely related to geekdom. I completely missed that one.
Well, see, I was thinking knights.
Neat.
Quest for the Holy Grail.
Or Columbus. You know, he was an explorer. There was some science in there, but I can't explain that one out other than it was just bad editing on my part.
Imagine that.
Hey.
All right. Well, hey, let's check in with George and John and see how the game's going.
All right. We've got to just stick this in here first.
Here's the kicker. We don't want this technology to be available to every hobbyist. That's enough. That's quite enough, Altu. Oh, he's messed with it. He must be the expert. So show us your editor.
Marty, we need to go back in time. 1.21 gigawatts.
Hey, I smell another intro. But here's the quote that really got me. Lipsum Aporum or whatever that is. 1.5.0.1. I don't know what's wrong with my voice. I can't work like this. I'm out of here.
Now we're in trouble.
What kind of garbage is that?
Welcome back to the Technorama 1.0 Halftime Status Update. I'm George Michael, and joining me once again is John Maddening.
Hello, George!
Both teams have really given us a show today. Coach Jobs' presentation has been fantastic.
Coach Gates left me feeling a little bit flat. What was he thinking, putting Justin Timberlake in?
I don't know. Both GUIs have been impressive, but I would give Apple a slight edge here.
I would give the Seattle Windows defense high marks for fending off that Kama Sutra attack late in the last quarter.
Yeah, well, who didn't see that coming?
Now, going into the second half, one key to making fast plays here is defragmenting their offense and moving the bits down the field.
You are right, John. Going into the second half, we have Windows at 101 and Apple at 110. This has been your Technorama 1.0 Halftime Status Update. Now, back to you, Chuck and Craig.
You've heard her velvet-toned voice.
Say your lines, show your face.
Now hear her live on a Digital Experience podcast exclusive, Friday, February 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Whitney Steele plus playing live in studio, hosted by Lance Heath of the Digital Experience Podcast. An Evening with Whitney Steele, streamed live February 10th, 2006, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For more information, go to digitalexperiencepodcast.com.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to the people in the chat room. We've currently got L81. I'm still not sure what that means. Mad Marv, Zahadoom, KO, Norbert, Tim Elliott, Shortman, and of course our underwriter Mark Shepard. I have seen some other names popping in and out of there during the show. If you happen to be around at the right time, jump into the chat room. It's a good time.
Yeah.
These are the people who did not watch the football game during the podcast. But you get your own Technorama Bowl 1.0 as we move through here. Hey, yeah. I also want to say that you guys who are editing the wiki, you guys rock. Putting in the favorite editors thing, you just got to make sure it's in the right place. Some people are putting in the show notes. It really goes in the fun and games section. So I've put a link right in the show notes to the right place. But
oh, that's a good idea. I didn't even think about that last time.
Yep. We're there. It's cool. I'm learning all kinds of new editors, and that's really what it's all about, is sharing ideas. And good idea, Craig. I'm glad you brought that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, truth is, I thought about it as we were doing the show. I was like, hey, that's a great idea.
On the fly. On to the news. Hey, Western Union has stopped sending telegrams after 145 years. They are no longer going to be going.
What's Marty going to do?
Well, that was in the past. He's still covered.
I was thinking the writers of Back to the Future didn't see that one coming.
No, he was in the past. He was in 55 when he got that telegram. He wasn't in the future. And on other news, with deafening silence there.
Thanks, man. I had to think about that.
There's an update on SuitSat. If you haven't heard, the people on the International Space Station have decided to ditch one of their old spacesuits, and they filled it full of electronic stuff, transmitters and instruments and voice recorders, and pushed it out the airlock.
An iRiver and a laptop.
That's enough of these podcasts.
Yeah. Let's check out the SuitSat podcast. Oh, well.
So it is currently orbiting the Earth. They don't know how long it'll be up there. There is a bit of a disappointment because the antenna or transmitter or something isn't quite strong enough. So you got to have a high gain antenna. And if you go to suitsat.org, that's SUITSAT.org, you can get the frequencies and things to tune in if you have ham radio stuff.
I wonder how long that thing would stay up there because there's nothing to keep it in orbit, I guess, over time.
It really depends. Well, yeah, it depends on the mass and how fast it's going. I mean, I would have thought it would have blown out of orbit, actually, but who knows?
Hey, we're not rocket scientists. They are.
Good point. Good point.
That's why we're doing a podcast here on Sunday night instead of watching the Super Bowl.
And anyway. In the Hack and Strange Stories, tell the listener what you found.
Oh, this was so funny. I found this video, Boing Boing. And be forewarned that, you know, if you're going to go to this is probably not a safe for work picture exactly, but it's a Pac-Man ass tattoo.
You will see someone's posterior, not disgustingly displayed, but the graphics on this thing look just like the video game. They've got blocky
the
edges
and ass are great.
Well, it's not a high res, but
yeah, no, it's pretty white, actually. But anyway, it's Pac-Man tattooed. I don't know who did that, who had this done. It was just, I don't know. They did a good job. Anyway, oh, wait a minute.
I want to know who came up with the idea.
Here's another link. It was an update on there I haven't seen. It was somebody had Space Invaders tattooed on their tummy.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. All right, we'll report back on that one. Maybe we'll put that in the next show.
I'm going for Defender on my chest. All right, we've got another installment of a GPS review. This one's on the Magellan Explorer, and I'll give you a warning right now. It's about 6 minutes and 20 seconds long.
Oh, so, I'm just kidding.
I'll go get a drink of water, and we'll be right back.
I think I'm going to hear a beer calling my name.
Craig!
All right, Chad, what have you got?
Okay, what I have is I have a Magellan Explorers 500. Let's see.
So Magellan is a very well-known name. I mean, right up there with Garmin in terms of GPSs.
Magellan is probably one of the original GPS manufacturers, I believe. Garmin is one of the more popular nowadays, is probably a fair statement, at least around here.
As a Model 500, you said?
Model 500.
Where does that fall in the product line, you know? Is it a mid-range, low-end, high-end?
A high-end consumer.
Okay.
Or mid to high-end consumer, because I know there's the Explorer 600, which is one step higher. And the main difference between the 600 and the 500 is that the 600 has the built-in compass and altimeter, I believe.
This is a handheld unit about 4 inches long, maybe an inch and a half wide.
Yep.
Screen, rectangular screen. Looks like we're looking at a top-down display right now.
Yep.
Okay.
It's always top-down display.
Nice color. I can see it at a good angle.
One of the biggest benefits of this one, I was researching or looking at it, is the display is nice, bright, and clear, with ability to adjust it down per
your... If you're at night, you're not blinding yourself.
Exactly. It runs on an ion lithium battery.
Okay.
Rechargeable. And connects to your PC with a USB cable.
Do you know what the battery life is if your display is all the way up?
I'm thinking it was supposed to be 20 hours. I haven't had it long enough to really exercise how far I can run it down.
But a really long time, you get a decent day's worth out of it.
Oh, definitely.
At least. Okay.
Maybe it's 15 hours.
You said it's USB connectivity.
Yep.
And you just had this hooked up to your Mac, so it showed up as a drive.
Which surprised me. Magellan is not friendly to alternative operating systems. Everything they have is Windows-based, Windows drivers, Windows stuff. But I plugged this in. It does have SD card expandability. I plugged this in, and I was able to navigate the SD card just like the file system.
Cool.
And being that a lot of the files that they have are text-based files, a programmer could go to many extremes to what they want to do with it. One thing that they sell with this is that it does have geocaching support, so they do have some special things.
I was going to ask you about that. You're a geocacher.
I'm a geocacher.
Now, tell me what geocaching support on the GPS means.
What it means is that they have a utility on the PC that will take a GPX file and convert it to their format to have a special geocache point of interest file. And what it does is it just has additional information. If I pull up the menu, go to my points of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Geocaching points is separated from all your other points of interest.
Now the menus, I should say, look a lot like an iPod. It's scroll. There's no click wheel, obviously, but scroll, click, scroll, click.
It's
very simple to navigate.
Everything's done. It's via joystick and buttons. The joystick is the primary use. The buttons are more or less quick, and menu access buttons.
Mm-hmm.
The geocaching stuff gives you more information on the point of interest. It'll give you the name of the cache, the ID, owner, last time it was found, and then it also has the hint built in so that you can see what the hint for that is from the geocaching.com.
So when I say George Washington, you got to know what to look for.
Yeah, and then you can go to view and it'll view it on your map. I've read mixed results as far as what people view as far as how helpful that is for geocaching. I haven't done enough geocaches with this unit to be able to say. My previous unit was a Garmin Legend.
Now you just got this for Christmas.
Yep.
Have you had a chance to have it out and about and test it out?
Very minimal.
Do you have any likes or dislikes at this point?
One of the biggest things you read on the forums is that it doesn't have enough screens information. Fields of information. If I go back to the main map, you basically see two possible fields of accuracy and speed.
Mm-hmm.
They're configurable, but some units have more fields of information you can see on the screen at one time.
So how important is that to you, though, as the primary user? Is it a gee, I wish, or?
Jury's still out.
Okay.
For the most part, I like what it is, but it depends on what you're at. Because if I'm searching for a geocache, I'd like to see distance to the next cache up there, mm-hmm. where if you have it configured for accuracy and speed, you're not going to see distance unless you change it. So that's one of the minor dislikes. One other just like I, well, the way I put it is that I'm not sure if this is a issue with Explorer or an issue with the MapSIM software, but when I was transferring the maps over here, 64 megabyte limit for the file size, for the image size for the map. I'm thinking that's more of a limitation they put in to support the older units, where the Explorer is one of the newer ones, because when you create the image, you have to convert to the Explorer image. So I think they're in the phasing out the old Meridian series and going to the Explorer series, and they're still in the process of migrating the software.
So you think at some point that barrier will be broken?
I'm thinking.
They'll just say, these maps are for Explorer only.
Right. For the example, I put a 512 meg SD card in there.
Yep.
And I was only able to get Wisconsin, Upper Michigan, and a little of Illinois into a 64 megabyte file that I could put on there. So if I want to say I'm going out to South Dakota or something, I might have to do multiple files to be able to get all the detailed maps to go out there.
Explorer's 500. What was the price you said?
Right around $350,
well,
I believe.
Not bad.
I think the list is a little higher, but you can
Street price. It's fine.
Street price.
Excellent. Thank you.
I pulled the trigger. Yep, I'm going to Mars. If it's not your daughter, you're fishing for something else.
Just like Obi-Wan did.
Yeah, and then you woke up.
All right. Ruined my fun. Is that typewriter getting longer, or is that my imagination? Dun, dun, dun. A plus sign.
That's the little cross on the keyboard.
Yeah, that was Stephen Hawking. Wasn't he great?
I still can't believe he's 57. They're joined to the gears.
We're not going to go into their preferences.
The 10th planet is bigger than Pluto. Now can we go home?
I want to give a quick reminder that we are giving away a Griffin iTrip Auto, and if you want to enter, just send email with some brown nosing comments to chuckchatplusauto@gmail.com. And you
look
are
at all the colors, man.
What
I'm
colors?
iTripping.
I think you really did go to Mars.
Don't eat the brown iTrip.
Keep away from the iron oxide. Kids, you could end up like Craig. Leave the podcasting to the professionals. Hey, I got an email this week for a call for help from a faithful listener, Brian Kelly. He upgraded to Firefox 1.5.0.1, which just came out a few days ago, and now his uploads and attachments don't work to Gmail or Podomatic.com. Very strange. He's tried IE. Everything works fine. This is on a Windows machine. He's unloaded and reloaded the app, turned off all his extensions and plugins, and it still doesn't work. I'm unable to reproduce this, and I want to know if anybody else out there has heard anything similar. Send us a note.
Well, you know, that is kind of odd that something like that would break. So I don't know if it is. In fact, that way, it sounds to me like something really, just really glitchy with the install.
Something just ain't
actually, you know what
right.
I would do? I would uninstall it, go into
registry.
You have to find the folder. It's under your name, documents and settings, your name, application data maybe, or something like, or in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And remove the folder from Mozilla, delete it, and then go into program files and delete that, then reinstall it. Because, you know, it could keep some preferences or something.
Something is being remembered somewhere. That's for certain. The uninstaller in Windows.
Not between
never...
me and Chuck, but yes.
I'm leaving that one alone.
Geek Thoughts.
When the going gets tough, upgrade.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Oh, right in the epiglottis.
That's going to leave a mark.
You know, Adam Savage kind of reminds me of MacGyver.
Yeah, that's a great lead-in. Yes, he does. Sort of, in a non-action kind of way.
They take things, they make things, they blow things up.
Okay, and that way they do. Hey, this is the Super Bowl ad that happened across my feed reader before the Super Bowl, actually. So it's one of those MasterCard, you know.
Yeah, where they say
$10, whatever. And anyway, it's with Richard Dean Anderson doing MacGyver, so you have to go see this.
It's
probably
funny.
One of the best ads I've seen in a long time.
This one's funny. If you remember MacGyver, yes. You knew he could take like a paper clip and a ballpoint pen and make a nuclear missile off it. Yeah. Why is that the example everybody uses?
I don't know. But you know what's funny? My wife was a big MacGyver fan, and she's like, oh, he could take a so-and-so and so. I was like, yeah, that's the same example everybody says.
I always think of Patty and Selma on The Simpsons. MacGyver's on at 8.
Oh, yeah. MacGyver's on at 9. Yeah.
Not missing MacGyver.
Anyway. All right. Well, let's get out of here, man.
Yep.
And be sure to stay tuned at the end of the show. I think we're going to check in with George and John on how the Technorama Bowl went. And listener line is 206-222-CHAT. It's your turn to call us. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. Send audio comments to Chuck.
Send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. Or you can email Craig. That's Craig with a K, R-E-G, @chuckchat.com. Check out the website, chuckchat.com, for all the forums. We have the combined forums with all the other friends in tech people. Swag, webcam, mail list. There's lots of stuff, including the show notes. I also have to remember to say, this show is a proud member of friendsintech.com. Find out more about this and many other tech shows, like In the Trenches and Digital Experience Podcast and Career Opportunities High Tech Handbook. And I can't remember all the others without them listed in front of my face, but friendsintech.com is the place you want to go.
That's right. Sorry, I had got a case of the giggles there for a minute.
Have you been drinking tonight?
I just started, man.
I didn't touch it.
Touch this one.
All right. Anyway. Then give me a big intoxicated binary high five.
1-0-1.
Thank you. Good night.
Welcome back to the Technorama 1.0 Shutdown Wrap-Up Show. I'm George Michael, and joining me once again is John Maddening.
Hello, George.
Wow, what a game.
This is one game that will go down in the Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's take a look at how these teams perform.
Rindos really showed their outlook, and they excelled, but exchanged that late in the game for access to the ball.
I feel they lost their focus on their core competency. I even thought I saw an Xbox in there at one point.
What was that all about?
No telling. In the end, Apple prevailed on a steady growth under guidance of Coach Jobs and his crew.
Final score, Apple 1100, Microsoft 1010.
Thanks for joining us for Technorama Bowl 1.0, and we look forward to seeing you right here again next year for Technorama Bowl 2.0 XP Pro 2007. This has been George Michaels and John Maddening.